Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it! New thing! This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No ads to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't.
That's how I do it. That's how it gets down, y'all. And let's just do it. Okay. So I hope everybody had a good day. Man, I could come up with a plethora of ideas and ranging and of motions and all this good stuff about what I want to talk about. But I must tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that that, listen, there is a lot going on in our world already. We don't even need to, jump into it. So we're going to jump in and out and scream it and shout and do what I, you know, do what we do. But I'm excited tonight. Lots to talk about. I know that for sure. And I got to stop talking right now so I can get my stuff together and come at you with this information because, man, my head is burning. Man, talking about some real, putting real time in. I'm putting real time in, y'all. Okay? I'm putting some real time in for you. I love you guys. That's how we do it. We keep it real. Nothing wrong with that. I love it. 110%. Love doing it for y'all. You know, some people, and I say this lightly, some people start off with good intentions, and their intentions end up being profit. Look, man, I don't need profit. God has blessed me. I don't need no money from y'all. I don't need y'all to donate. If y'all want to donate to something y'all find to be real and right. So I'm not saying those shows out there aren't real and ready for you, but let's consider our sources, okay? Let's do the things that we always like to do and we want to do because, hey, life is too short, man. Life is too short. You hear me? So let's kick it like we always do on Sound Out Forum. I'm your host, George Beverly Jr., and let's do it for the people. This is what it's for the people, in the name of Jesus Christ. So you can find me on Facebook at george.mango.904. You can also find me hashtag on Twitter at Sound Off Forum. Sound Off 97413. That's Sound Off 97413. You can also call in at 347-989-1014. You can also go to my website, which is www.soundoffforums with three F's and an S at the end, .com, .org, .net, however you want to type it in. It's there for you. I will be updating my site in the next few weeks because there are a lot of things that we need to put on the site that I've said so you can go reference your own information. So, without further ado, we do Ephesians 6, 6 through 13, the King James Version, not with eye service and man pleasers, but with the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of the persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take up on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand within the evil day, and having all done to stand. And let the church say amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how we do it. This is how we do it on the forums. This is the place where you can come and get your thoughts out. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, George Beverly Jr., who I am, your host, have got a lot on his mind. Okay? And first, I want to continue what I was talking about last night. Now, when I was talking about last night, I was talking about not only mind control, but the tricks of the trade, okay? The tricks of the trade of the elite. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, they have done a significant job. Today, I was tipped off by Professor Griff about this movie. The movie's called The Brother of the Bell. Listen, this movie was made back in maybe the 60s, 70s. This movie is excellent because it gives you a breakdown how the society of a secret organization is ran. And this individual did not want to kill this man. I'm not going to tell you the whole movie. But everything that we know now to be tricks that the media does, and what the radio does, and the counterintelligence that is put on Americans today, we know these tricks. But the question is, ladies and gentlemen, are you willing to defend your freedoms? And this is paramount, okay? Because I know a lot of people don't like hearing and talking about these things because it's uncomfortable. You know why it's uncomfortable? Because when you are faced reality, there's only two things you know how to do because you're a human being. That is either fight or flight. Let me say it again. As a human being, it is in our being to either do one or two things. Either we fight or we flight. Okay, so what I'm saying to you is when you're faced with pertinent information that has been passed down to you from reliable sources in your family, usually that uncle you think is crazy and he's always drunk or somebody in your congregation is always something. Listen, the devil is out to destroy humanity. We know this. Everybody knows this. Whether you believe in Jesus, whether you believe in Buddha, whether you believe in the Hindus and all this stuff. Listen, we know without light, there is no darkness. Without darkness, there is no light. So on one hand, we can't talk about how Satan is destroying the world and not uplift Jesus. Okay, let me flip it back to you. So the society that we live in, if we're not fighting for Christ, then we're flying. And what did Jesus say in Revelations? He said, when it's time for the book of life to be open, either you knew me or you didn't. And if you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Okay? Because he doesn't know you, because you don't know him. Okay. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's trigger this, y'all. Let's think about this. There's been, in the recent months of 2013, there has been events that has been put in our minds using what we talked about yesterday, the syndical magic. Syndical magic, okay? The repetition of the illusion that you are not safe, that is put through the media, the TV, the newspapers. People say, we don't talk about religion, we don't talk about religion, politics, and religion and politics, I think it's the only ones I can think of, and there's another one, I believe, all right? Religion and politics, you don't talk about that stuff. You know why you don't talk about that stuff? Because everybody's got an opinion. That is the meaning of being able to gather, to commune with one another. You know the old adage that more than two black people that are around can be put in jail? Because they didn't have the right to assemble. Ladies and gentlemen, black people couldn't even have the right to assemble. So now we got the right to assemble, and we don't talk about anything that's real. And if you are black and you are Republican God bless you. If you listen, you could have Republican, you could have right-wing views and left-wing views and mental views. That's totally fine, because in a debate, you need all of it. But when you start to discredit your own race based off on your own personal gain, ladies and gentlemen, that is not good. Not good at all. Okay? So, let me bring you back to focusing. It's important that we take the right to assemble and be productive to assemble. It's important. Because you have to understand, when that liberty is taken away from us, the right to assemble, and let me make this very clear. We are fighting for our freedoms here, ladies and gentlemen. And because I'm going to take you back to the 2013 thing that I got on. When we're fighting for our freedoms, and we don't even know that we're fighting for our freedoms, then it's not newsworthy. It's not something we consciously think about, because one, they keep us busy in the rat race, where we got to go to work, we got to take care of our kids, we got to fix dinner, we've got to go to dance recitals, we got to go to basketball games, we got to go to soccer practice, we got to go to church, and so your life is filled with a whole lot of matter. I'm just gonna say matter, okay? It's filled with a whole lot of matter. But check out the reality of things. The reason why they keep you so busy and so exhausted is because if you are exhausted, how can you fight? How can you stand? How can you form a real argument of an opinion and sit out there and pick it? Now, let me bring you back to the 60s, because we don't talk about the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. Why not? Because they figured out how to manipulate people in doing the things that they want them to do so they won't repeat this massive move. Because the civil rights movement, ladies and gentlemen, wasn't just a period of time where, you know, a couple of people were getting together and, you know, listen, the civil rights movements changed the perception of how people were supposed to live and be treated. See, when it was a revolution, ladies and gentlemen, see, people don't understand that. When you are being beaten by sticks and attacked by dogs and being bombed and being hit with water hoses and being shot and being lynched and all that stuff, and you stand up and say, we're not going to take it anymore, they know that you do not fear death. And what do they scare us with? They scare us with death. So, bringing you back to 2013, we've got the Sandy Hook case, we've got the Chris Dorner case, we've got these missing children cases, we've got the Boston bombing, okay, we've got Benghazi, we got the I think this is not 2013, but I'm gonna bring it up anyway. Fast and Furious, you see. So when you think about Fast and Furious, when you think about Sandy Hook, when you think about Chris Dorner, you're getting all these things, all this information thrown at you by the TV, and they make it and present it like it is a threat on your life. Then how do you form an opinion? Well, we form opinions based off of the material that is given to us. And let me make this very clear. When they use the cynical magic, they use that magic, the code words, the psychological, emotional groping of the TV to reel you in. They use code words like terrorism. They use words like insurgent. They use words like gun safety, gun control, police killer, baby killer, innocent children dying. Ladies and gentlemen, I say this on my show all the time. Are we crying for those people in these other countries that being blown up by the drones? Some of y'all don't even know about it. No, because it doesn't affect your life. But as soon as somebody says something like, today in the news, there is an ex-police officer who wrote a manifesto saying that he's going to kill policemen. Ladies and gentlemen, did you stop to think? No, you didn't, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Did you stop to think that this man was pushed to a point of no return? Does it not sound familiar? Hey, let's look at Britney Spears. Britney Spears was pushed to a point of no return. Y'all remember that? Mariah Carey was pushed to a point of no return. Martin Lawrence was pushed to a point of no return. She had to go on. Michael Jackson was pushed to a point. Whitney Houston was pushed to a point of return. Look, listen, Elvis was pushed to a point of return. Listen, everything, every way, y'all, it all ends in the same way. Either they die of a heart attack, they die in the water, or we got to shoot to kill them. For example, Bin Laden. Listen, you know the facts like I know the facts. They found Bin Laden with his family. They caught him. They didn't. Listen, if he is the mastermind of 9/11, and you found people, let me back up. He is the mastermind of Al-Qaeda, the horrible terrorists that destroyed these Twin Towers and killed over 20,000 people. You found these terrorists and brought them to Guantanamo Bay. You waterlogged these people. You electrocuted these people. You tortured these people. And then you said you didn't. Then they did an investigation. Then they turned around, they said that they did. Wait, who are we going to believe? The journalists, or are we going to believe the government? Let me get back to that. They find this operation team, this special forces team, finds Osama bin Laden, takes him in custody, and then shoots him. But he is the mastermind behind 9/11, and you don't question him why he's still alive? Then, on top of that, you want to... Okay, wait. Let me back up a little further. We had Saddam Hussein. We caught him, Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein was put on public trial, then was sent back to his people. They hung him. Was he given a proper burial? Okay. Let's talk about the man who orchestrated 9/11, who killed Americans. But they want to honor him and put him to honor his religion? Wait. Those don't even make sense. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about American justice. Because it's very important. It's very important that we understand emotional justice and the law of the land. Let's not get those two things confused, okay? Because the law of the land dictates that every man is due process in America. In America, okay? So because we have orchestrated this war on terrorism, and I say we, it's because the United States has orchestrated that, and then we got everybody else along with us. So if an American team got him in Pakistan, then we took him out, then once we have custody of him, he is due process. He is due to be interrogated and go to trial to find out if he did commit these crimes or not. Now let me explain this because I'm not ignorant. I know people want to say, well, there's such thing as international laws. Well, that's fine and dandy, but you got to understand that the United States implemented the strikes to attack Osama bin Laden on his home turf, which Osama bin Laden's family is part of the royal family in Saudi Arabia. Okay, everybody knows this, but just to give you the background for people who don't know this, Osama bin Laden was a CIA agent back during the Afghanistan-Russian war. When America went down there and gave them missiles and all this training and everything, listen, you can go back in history and you can see any war that has to do with another country that America's not totally involved in has trained them, equipped them, and financed them. So let's not get this misunderstood. Same thing with Iraq, the Iraqi-Iran war. And we've already talked about the Arab Spring and how they want to get rid of, want to gain control of that whole area, okay? And I had to get that off my chest because that's bugging me. Remember this, y'all. We are fighting for our freedoms. Fight or flight. Which side are you going to choose? And the baseline of the argument is this. Are you fighting for justice, which means Jesus, or are you just turning your back and letting the devil do whatever he wants to do? Whether you believe in him or not, it's going to be. Listen, you better believe in something because it's going to be. Okay, don't get that twisted because it will be. Okay, now, to that point, and then I'm going to get into the nitty-gritty of all of the information that I got. What happens when you know that there is a tornado coming? What do you do when you know there is a hurricane coming? You prepare to anchor down in order for you to survive. And if something happens to your belongings, you can always get that stuff back, right? Then, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a very serious question. The question is this. If you know you should prepare for a rainy day, and you haven't prepared just in case, then why are you even alive? Because you want to live today for today and in the moment? Okay, well, that's fine. Live for today in the moment. That's fine. That's totally fine. But when it comes, listen, for my people who live in the northwest or northeast, who gets hit with the snow, y'all know what I'm talking about. If you don't have your provisions while you get them during the springtime, come wintertime, if you haven't chopped your wood, you're going to be in last place. That's what I'm referring to. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not far-fetched when I'm talking about this. I'm simply saying, even if there is not going to be a catastrophe, the end of the world, whatever you want to call it, at least prepare yourself just in case. Okay? Just prepare yourself. All right. Lord have mercy. Y'all got me going today. Now, when we're talking about the mind control and the cynical magic yesterday, the book is written, it says Mind Control of the United States is Stephen Jacobson, okay? And the reason why I want to bring this out is because it is important that you have an idea or you have some knowledge of what things going on. If sometimes we just think that it's just us sometimes. But I want you to understand there's variables out there or properties out there that really don't have nothing to do with you but affects your body. And that could be, listen, I'm not going to use movies for an example, but I'm going to hypothetically throw this at you, right? Say, for example, you get a product, right? And the product is a new product. And it's the new rave, everybody's doing it, they're doing it or whatever. And then, for some reason, years down the line, you're activated. Now you say to me, George, what are you talking about? Your blood has iron in it. And if the iron would be concentrated enough in your body, because we're made of electricity, we could attract a magnet and make the magnet stick to our body, depending on if your iron is activated or not in your body. And, you know, paper clips, you know, whatever little small things come to you, and they'll be sticking to your hand. Because the activation of the medical, the magnet field that is around us, plus our electrical charges that we vibrate out, positive and negative, and the iron within our body. So that's how we get that. And so once the iron has been kicked up to whatever percentage, you have the ability to have, you know, magnetism. Okay? Now, and like I said, that's hypothetical. If you're drinking some type of liquids and they have a chemical in there that is activated, and I say they, I'm talking about the company who created it, has a certain chemical in it, and when you get around a certain vibration, it activates those things in your body. Now, I'm not so far-fetched to let you say, let's say that the nanite technology, you've seen G.I. Joe about the nanite. Listen, people, go look this stuff up, okay? So the nanite materials aren't going to go and just flush through your body as waste. They're going to attach to your tissues, okay? Just like a virus or a disease, like cancer or whatnot. So if you are having these vibrations, if certain vibrations is put out, and say that the activation of this is when you listen to loud music. So every time you turn the music down, you feel better. But every time you turn the music up, you start to feel ill. That is what I'm referring to as far as the ability to control the human body. And don't you think they can control our human minds because of the repetition they have put in us after the magic and the mysticism? Listen, y'all really don't understand how science really works because you're not scientists. And then there are teachers who probably are scientists that are not involved in these things of the occult. But believe me, ladies and gentlemen, these things are real. Okay, here we go. The most effective way to protect yourself from a subconscious manipulation is to be aware of how it works. Jacobson, the author of The Mind Control of the United States, is a film technician expert in subliminal techniques used in communication media. Subliminal perception is a process, a deliberate process created by communication technicians, by which you receive and respond to information and instructions without being consciously aware of the instructions. Scary. You bet your life it is. And Jacobson's detail in this book is happening to America today. Mind Control in America is an introduction to the history of practice of subliminal communication. It outlines the principles of mental programming that an initial distraction must be followed by a repetitious command, and it is still, I mean, it tells you how these ideals are implemented. Further, the book tells you when and where it has been used. Jacobson explains range in flight movie productions and in the onboard films to general audience movies, such as The Reefer's Madness, The Exorcist, and My World Dies Screaming. These effects on audience are graphically designed. The case of the movie The Exorcist is especially interesting. William Peter Battley, author of the book and producer of the movie, is a former CIA operative. Batterly had an extensive career in government psychological manipulation. One had to be pretty novel to argue with this, in no connections between Batterly's CIA career and his choice of communication technology. Now, let me go to first what the CIA used to be. Okay? Let me explain to you what the CIA used to be. See, it's called the Office of Strategic Service, or better known as OSS, the United States Intelligence Agency. Formed during World War II, and it was a wartime intelligence agency. It is the predecessor of the Central Intelligence Agency, which is the CIA. The OSS was formed in order to coordinate espionage activity behind enemy lines for the branch of the United States Armed Forces. Prior to the forming of the OSS, Army Intelligence have conducted an ad hoc basis by various departments of executive branch, including the State, Treasurer, Navy, War Department. It has no overall direction, coordination, or control. The U.S. Army and the U.S. Navy has separate code-breaking departments. President FDR was considered by American intelligence agencies on the suggestion of William Stephenson, the senior British intelligence officer in the West Hemisphere. He requested to draft a plan of an intelligence service based on British Secret Intelligence Service, which is the MI6, which is also a special operation executive. Now, we have to go to, there's a lot to this, but I want to give you a background of what it was, who it was, and who pretty much came up with it, okay? So, now we've got to go to the CIA and what the CIA uses. You see, the CIA is one of the principal intelligence gathering agencies, the United States for federal government. It is executively agency of that report directly to the national intelligence, which respectfully for providing national security and intelligence assessment to senior U.S. state policymakers. Intelligence gathering is performed by non-military commission senior intelligence agents, many of whom are trained to avoid tactic situations. The CIA is overseen by sometimes engaged in technical and covert operations at the request of the President of the United States. There's a location in Langley, McLean, Fairfax, County, Virginia, which is miles west of Washington, D.C. It is also important to know that the CIA has an executive office and several agencies-wide focus in four major departments. You see, the Directorate of Intelligence, responsible for all sources of intelligence, response, and analysis, and also the National Clandestine Service, which is formerly the Directorate of Operation, which does the clandestine investigation, collection, and convert operation. The Declarative of Support, the Declarative of Technology. Now, most of these things we know about, all right? There's a Office of Transition Groups. This is an Office of Terrorism Analysis, an Office of Transition Information, CIA Crime and Narcotics Center, a Weapon Intelligence, Non-Proliferated and Armed Control Center, a Counterintelligence Center Analysis Group, Information Operative Center, and then their support. There's the Collection of Strategic and Analysis and the Office of Policy Subjects. Okay? All right. Then we got to talk about what's really important is the Science and Technology Department. See, the Science and Technology Department is very rarely talked about, but these are the meats and potatoes of where we get these psychoanalysts who do certain things in America, okay? And we can't just say that these things don't exist when our government says that it does. I mean, you can get your hands on documents and documents and documents of this stuff that is real. You can even go to the history of the CIA. You can actually go to their own website, okay? Back to the book. Simply subliminal techniques have been used on radios and TV. Currently, research has moved heavily into the extra sensitive perception, which is the ESP, the use of this meditation and marijuana to generate alternative states of conscious. Out-of-body experiences are apparently better documented as research has progressed for beyond general belief. Just who is responsible for this intrinsic experiments with free individuals for free society? The author Jacobs presents examples for identifying the so-called Eastern establishment that he quotes made up on the Council of Foreign Affairs, the Bilderbergs, and the other assorted elites. At the primary source, even at the White House level, deception was practiced not only by the master deceiver Richard Nixon, but also by President Johnson, Carter, and Reagan. At the corporation level, even large advertising agencies have experiments with subliminal messages. Finally, the deception has been used to discard the persuasions, erosions of one's constitutional guarantees of freedom. Unfortunately for us, George Orwell, 1984, was right on schedule when it was alerting is that very, very few citizens realize that deception is already part of our society framework. We don't know that 1984 has already arrived because we have been conditioned not to know. By the same means, the media has created a state of inner turmoil in citizens through portraying of violence and chaos and radical behavior. This interstate is reflected in a chaotic world outside. What do you do? Hopefully this book will increase your sense of skepticism when it comes to establishing representatives. Less obviously, you do have the duty to freedom to find the truth and spread the truth. Mind control in the United States will be invaluable in this task. At least you will know who tries to brainwash you and how they try. Bethany C. Sutton, California, 1985. Now, that was a mouthful, ladies and gentlemen. But the importantness of that was to give you an idea that even people of high level of echelons, they know what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. They come out to tell you this stuff's not real. But what is the first thing we do? The media uses their attack dogs. Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, Fox News. You got all these things going on, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not saying all the left conservative liberal MSNBC and all that stuff. Listen, I'm not getting on anybody's side, because all by all means, they're all pulled by strings, just depending on who's pulling the strings, okay? But it is important for you, ladies and gentlemen, to know the mind games and the tricks that they're playing on us. Please, I beg of you. Okay, so in chapter 3 of this book, he says the principle of mental programming, the most effective way to conquest a man is to capture his mind. Control a man's mind and you control his body. Most people don't pay conscious attention to these things that affect them subconsciously. They don't usually know what to look for. However, when pointed to, these things can be recognized and understood. The principle of the mind of control, hypnoticism, suggestion, mental program are ancient. The term used does not mean principles that remain the same. The goal is to suspend the thought process of the conscious mind to cause a state of mind that is just like daydreaming. I'm not going to read the whole thing because there's a lot to say, but I'm skipping to chapter 4. It says the power of music. Important. Listen, we all know the power of music. I want to say one thing, and then I'll move on. Everybody knows this, that Satan was the minister of music. Let me say it again. Satan was the most beautiful angel in heaven. He had a beautiful voice. And so now that he is here on his domain, what is he using to manipulate the human beings? Do you really think that he wants to help us? Okay. Think back to the time when you had been saddened by a song. It may have brought a tear. You might have felt it in your stomach as a change in the muscle tension. The power of music has been recognized throughout history. Plato and Aristotle believed that the people could not be controlled by music. That could be controlled by music. If affects your body, your mind, and your emotions, sounds cause changes in your body chemically. Blood pressure, beating, and digestion. Even sounds that you cannot hear affect you. Low frequencies. Infrasonic sounds affect your internal organs and can be cause headaches, nausea, dizziness, and fatigue. Fast music will speed up your nervous system, while slow music will slow it down. Your entire body is sensitive to sound. Sounds vibrate in your different parts of your body. Low tones will vibrate into the lower part of your body, and high tones will vibrate into the higher portions of your head. 60s rock superstar Jimi Hendrix said, "You can hypnotize people with music. And when you get them at the weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious whatever you want to say." Much of this today, popular rock music is built around a heavy bass pattern loaded louder than the melody. These loud, low-frequency vibrations and deriving beats of most rock music affects the pituitary gland. The pituitary gland produces hormones that controls the sexual responses of males and females. These low-frequency vibrations vibrate into a low part of your body so that the music feels good. In times it affects this kinds of causes, the programming will appear. These effects of the physical, psychological, and the emotional, most people don't pay conscious attention to the things that affect them subconsciously because they don't know what to look for. And if you want to read about the Beatles, it's in here. I'm not going to read about that as much. Okay, because I'm just going to throw some basic things out at you, okay? For example, on June 22nd, 1956, British Broadcasting Corporation experimented with projecting subliminal messages on TV. Pictures were flashed on the screen too quick to be seen consciously, but they did not make an impression on the subconscious. Subliminally perception is the process whereby you receive and respond to visual and sound information without being aware of it. The message in the form of printed words, pictures, or voices in presence either on a rapidly or a faint that you are not consciously aware of being seen or heard by anything. The BBC experiment was followed by an experiment by the Canadian Broadcast Corporation doing the same thing, projecting subliminal messages. Mexico La Televice commercials, TV, and radio networks had experiments extensively of subliminal broadcasting techniques. I'm going to get to one that interests you a lot. Using what they call a pre-con perception process, the picture of a skull and the word blood were flashed subliminally on the screen in the movie My World Dies Screaming. Some words were images targeted strong emotion responses in people. Laboratory experiments show that people will react to the word like blood and the picture of a skull with quickening pulse, faster beaming, sweating palms, and more indicating of the heightened emotions. The Exorcist used both subliminal sounds and pictures. A number of times during the movie, the face of Father Carassa became a two-frame, full-screen, dead mask. 24 frames of the movie picture films are projected per second. The death mask flashed on the screen at 1 in the 18th of a second. the conscious unnoticed the word pig appearing many times throughout the movie. The terrified screaming of pigs being slaughtered was mixed subsequently into the soundtrack. The buzzing sounds of anger, anxiety, bees swarming in and out of the scenes throughout the film. People really did faint in large numbers. Many more became nauseous in verifying degrees. A great many more people disturbing nightmares. It is interesting to note that William B. Blatty, the author of the novel and producer of the movie, is a former CIA operative who served as a policy branch chief of psychological warfare division in the U.S. Air Force. According to this previously classified document, the CIA tested subliminal manipulation in movie theaters during the 1950s. Now, you can call me what you want to call me, but this information is blasted in government documentation. Okay? So when we talk about the informational flow and who's getting the informational flow, you gotta really, you gotta really find out what's going on. Okay? Because, when I talk about what's really going on, we talked about it last night, about how we allow the media to dictate to us what we should watch, what's going on, and all these things. Listen, the most important thing is to be aware of it. And if you are aware of it, then all you have to do is stop supporting it. You see, because, I really don't really go to the movies all that much anymore. Now, I did go see Iron Man 3. I was just very spontaneous when I did it. But I really don't like going to the movies because I don't like supporting these type of movies that they're putting out nowadays. Because all these movies that they're putting out nowadays have such subliminal hatred and filth in it, okay? Now, back to more understanding of what the evilness, as far as the mind control, what they're doing to us. Okay, so we go from a conscious mind to the physical mind. Okay, now remember the document that I told y'all about that Henry Kissinger under Nixon was doing, and under Carter what he was doing, and at the time George Herbert Walker Bush was the director of the CIA at this time. And so now these little dominions and groupies and all these things, you see, the pieces move depending on who's in charge and who they want to be in charge, okay? So, in this document, it says economic development and population growth. Number 10, rapid population growth creates a severe drag on the rates of economic development otherwise attainable, sometimes to the point of preventing any increase in per capita income. In addition to the overall impact on per capita incomes, rapid population growth severely affects a vast range of other aspects of the quality of life important to social and economic progress in the LDS. The LDCs. 11. Adverse economic factors which generally result from the rapid growth, population growth, include reduced family savings and domestic income, increased need for a large amount of foreign exchange from food, increased need for large amounts of foreign exchange for food, intensifications of severe unemployment and underemployment. Let's see, the need for great expenditures for the service, such as the dependency support, education, and health, in which we use for more products, investments, the consideration of the developmental resources and the increase of food products to ensure the survival of a larger population rather than an improving life condition for smaller total numbers. And you're asking me, George, why did you read that? Okay. Because it is important to know when they were writing this memo, when they wanted to depopulate the earth, they had to come up with a way in order for those code words, okay? Remember in the 80s when we started talking about famine and all these kids in Africa was starving? And all the singers got together and started, "We are the world, we are the children." And they singing all this stuff and people giving money to these people. And we come to find out those kids, children, not seeing not one red cent of that money. They didn't get nothing, they didn't get none of that money, okay, right? So where's the money going? The interrelationships between the development and the population growth are complex and overwhelming, and that is understood. Certain aspects of economic development and marginalization appear to be more directly related to a lower birth rate than others. Thus, certain development programs may bring a faster demographic transition to lower fertilization rates than other aspects of development. The World Population Plan of Action, adopted the World Population Conference, recommends that the country working to affect fertilization levels should give priority to developmental programs and health and education strategies that will help deceive the effect of fertility. International corporations should give priority to assisting such national effects. These programs include improved health care and nutrition to reduce child mortality, educate and improve social structures for women, increase female employment, increase older age security, and assist for rural poor who generally have the highest fertility in this action. If it may well be that deserved that family sizes will decline in the near replacing levels until less the LDC rule poor improve the exerting of the benefits of the reducing of the family. You see, they're using these words to manipulate the way they so who came up with this council? And the question was, who's on this World Population Council? I mean, we already know that these countries consist of India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Nigeria, Mexico, Indonesia, Brazil, the Philippines, Thailand, Egypt, Turkey, Ethiopia, and Colombia. These are the nations that they were targeting back in the 70s and in the 80s. Okay, this is where they were targeting. But the way that they had to do it was they had to suppress the four, suppress the men and the women, and then if the women were not producing because they go and give them hysterectomies, they will never know. All they know is they deliver a baby, right? And I want to get to the nitty-gritty part of this, and I'm trying to find it. I apologize, but I had it. I mean, they had the figures, and they had they had all this stuff planned out, y'all. I mean, just craziness. And when I finish with this, I'm going to tie in the Chris Darner thing. So don't go nowhere. Because it's going to get real interesting. Because remember when we talked about yesterday how the trilateral and the foreign, the Council of Foreign Policies or whatever they called, they were the CFR was trying to, you know, with the trying to get Japan interested into doing all these things. Okay, now let's look at the idea of what is considered to be a natural interest of America. They said that we needed to go to Iraq because it was in the natural interest, the nation's interest, to go to Iraq. Once they already proved there was no weapons of mass destruction. But we need to be there anyway. Right? That's what they said. Because it's in the interest of the United States of America. And we sit back and say, okay. But the question was never asked, what exactly was the interest? What did we get from there? What did our soldiers die for? And people want to talk about accountability. You see, that it doesn't affect you unless it's in your face. Now, these people are going crazy. These Republicans are going crazy. The Tea Party people are going crazy because the IRS is auditing them for no reason, right? When they've been treating black people and Mexicans like dirt for the longest time. Shoot, we can't even get ahead. So once it starts affecting your pocket, oh, okay. I see the problem. And speaking about inspecting the problem, why is it that we are not working harder to get North Korea out of the way? I'm going to ask you. You see, I brought this question up a long time ago when it happened. I said, why are we going to Iraq? Because Iraq has not done necessarily anything to us. Now, I'm not saying that I wasn't hurt, things wasn't, you know, that I didn't have emotional feelings based off of that. But what I can say is, man, there is no way I'm going to sit here and just let somebody tell me what is true and what's not true. It's very, 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 very easy to put blame on other people. And it's very, very easy to say, hey, We've got to go get them and emotionally stir them up. I mean, come on, y'all. What's the reality? What's the truth of the thing? The truth of the matter is they had no weapons of mass destruction. They had something that we want. We don't know what it is. And they're not willing to tell us. So what do we do now? Speculate. And you ask yourself, is that a right or wrong? Well, I guess, I don't know. I really don't know what to tell you. But I can say this. When they use the overt means that they put on other countries on us in attack, I don't think that's a good thing. I don't think that's very nice. I don't think that people should have to suffer off of something that the government did and then blame it on somebody else. And we should be okay with that. No, we're not okay with that. We will refuse to be okay with that. And when you say you refuse, you put your foot down and we don't care. And we just don't care. Not one bit. So, that moves it on to this. Gas is going to be talked about. Chris Darner. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of things don't add up with this man. Lots of things. Lots of things. First of all, there was conflicting news reports on this gentleman. And whether you believe this to be true or not to be true, that is your business. You can come, you can do your own research and you will look for it for yourself. But it's very hard to believe, ladies and gentlemen. And I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen. I did not follow this case. I had no idea what the heck was going on. All I know was, well, this person was being wanted. Didn't follow the case because, once again, I'm not that kind of person that gets trapped in the whole media thing and try to, you know, get all worked up. I'm just not that kind of person. But what I will tell you is I did do some research today. And the reason why I did do research today is because I've got questions. Maybe you can answer them for me. Or maybe you can't. Maybe I'm just end up in, you know, just being questioned. But let's get started. So, first of all, this man was, from what I understand, was a very modest citizen. I mean, he did what he could do, and he did the right things. They said, let's see what he was, he says. See, now I have not read the manifesto, but I should have read it before I got on here, but I had a lot of stuff going on, and I'm trying to prepare for something else. Now, this young man, I'm trying to find, see, they don't have no real history on him. No real history on him. I say this, though, okay? On January 31st, Christopher Jordan Darner sent a package to CNN to Anderson Cooper. Now, they said they had a disc and they had a DVD in it, and they had a coin shot through it. Let me give you a little background about this man, okay? Listen. He was a police officer. He was in the Navy Reserves. And apparently he was associated with some type of warfare training. And, you know, you see the pictures of him in his training and his outfit and all that Navy stuff. And he was previously married. He has no children. And the question is this. When anybody does anything in the United States that's newsworthy, they go to their family. I haven't seen his mother on TV. I haven't seen his father on TV. I haven't seen his brother cousin on TV. I ain't seen little Leroy. I haven't seen little Junebug. I ain't seen none of them people. You mean to tell me nobody got nothing to say about that son? Cousin, uncle, brother, nephew? The only person who spoke on his behalf was a friend, okay? So-called friend. You don't even know where the friend come by. I don't know. Don't know. All right? He commanded a security unit of a naval air station forum in Nevada. He served as a mobile undershore undersea warfare unit from 2004 to 2006, was deployed to Bricheron, a Coast Guard Regional 2 group from 2006 to 2007. And he was discharged by the Navy Reserve in 2013. Okay. So now, let's look at his career in 2007, okay? Okay. So, Jonah joined the LAPD in 2005. Completed police academy training in 2006, shortly after his duty as a probational policeman was interrupted when he was deployed to the U.S. Navy Reserves in the Bahrain for 13 months. On his return in 2007, he was paired with training officer Teresa Evans, to complete his probational training. According to the LA Times, Evans said that on Durham's first day working with her, Durham told her that he was going to sue the LAPD after he completed his probational period. Durham, while he was on probation officers, filed a complaint accusing Evans for kicking this person who was suffering from schizophrenia during her arrest in 2007. The person was tased and had given up. The LAPD investigation of the complaint, 3 hotel employees who witnessed the most of this the incident, who was interviewed by the LAPD detectives, claimed that they did not see the training officer kick the man. The man was brought to the police station and given a mild treatment for injuries on his face, and he did not mention being kicked at the time. Later that day, when he was returned to his father, the man told his father that he had been kicked by an officer, and his father testified that Donner's hearing. In the videotape interview with Dorner's attorney showing at the hearing, the man stated that he was kicked in the face by a female police officer on the day and the place in question. However, when the man testified at the hearing, he responded to questioning what he described as general, incohesive, and non-responsive. For 7 months during the investigator donor complaint, Teresa Evans was assigned to desk duty and was not allowed to earn money outside of her LAPD job. The investigation concluded that there was no kicking. Our investigation later decided that Dorner had lied. Dorner was fired by the LAPD in 2008 for making false statements. Dorner's attorney at the board hearing from LAPD, Captain Randall Kwan, said that Dorner was treated unfairly and was being made as a scapegoat. In his online manifesto, Dorner cited this on the case, wrongful dismissal, and on his primary motives for the shooting. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, let me make something very clear to you. Very clear. Very clear. First of all, this man is in the service. You understand? This man comes back and says that he is going to sue the LAPD after completing his probational period. Now, the question is why is Dorner going to sue the LAPD, according to what Teresa Evans said? Okay? She did the kicking. They dismissed him. Now, from what I heard, and it's only what I heard, I don't know if it's to be true, but if you're fired from a police job, do you still get to keep your badge and your gun? I'm just asking. Do you get to keep your badge and your gun? Okay, well, all right. So this man was supposedly fired in 2008 for lying against his officers, this female officer. Okay. So he appealed, and it failed. This enraged Dorner, and he screamed in disbelief to the end of the hearing. I told the truth. How could this ruling happen? This anger was repeated in Dorner's manifesto. Let me tell you this. If Dorner is part of a special operations team and he was deployed for 13 months, let me reiterate this for you, ladies and gentlemen. We don't know what type of combat this man saw. So when he comes back, I can think of this reason. He had to go through hoops and loops in order to get his job back because he was deployed for so long. Now, there's a law that says that when you are a reservist or National Guard, you're supposed to be able to go back to your job. This was after 9/11 happened. Okay? I don't know when the law was passed, but this is the law. Okay? So, that's probably one of the things. He's upset. Because I got PTSD and TBI. And I know when there is something that's fishy and there is something that is wrong and it just don't make sense to me, whether it makes sense or not. Ladies and gentlemen, as a veteran, it don't make sense. So hell yeah, he's mad. Because you telling me a highly decorated soldier is just going to lie on a female cop just to lie so he can sue the police department? Don't have a criminal record. Don't have a criminal record. Good, upstanding citizen. But he's a liar now, right? Okay. He's a liar now. All righty then. Let's look further in this. So, the manhood timeline. As I said before in the beginning, that obviously he had some stuff planned out, right? But on the 31st, he sent Anderson Cooper a package. He goes to the base to work. He's caught on camera going to a aquatic center to get air in some air tanks. And nobody knows what's going on. There was no telltale signs by his superiors, our soldiers. It was business as usual, huh, y'all? Yeah, business as usual, right? Check this out. Anderson Cooper, this is February 1st, 2013. Anderson Cooper of CNN received a package in his office containing a DVD that states Dahmer's case against the LAPD. The package also contained a bullet-ridden challenging coin issued by the LAPD Chief William Burton and a note inscribed 1 MOA, 1 minute of angle, implying that the coin was shot at 100 meters. Okay. In the city of Irvine, in the evening of hours, a 28-year-old Monica Quirin and her fiancé, 27, Keith Lawrence, was found shot to death in Lawrence's parking lot outside of their condominium complex. The assistant women basketball coach of Cal State was the daughter of Randall Quinn of the LAPD department captain and a lawyer to whom recently represented Dahmer during the Dahmer dismissal hearing from the LAPD. Lawrence was on campus security office of Southern Cal, California. On the 4th, the manifesto was published online purporting that Dahmer online his experiences and stating his motives for shooting as being a clear his name. In it he writes, "I will not be alive to see my name clear. That is all about my name." Dahmer manifesto also specified the name Randall Cronin and his family are targets, and the Ivory police named Dahmer as the primary suspect in the murder of Murder Quinn and Keith Lawrence on the evening of February the 6th. The manifesto said that the Quinn had failed to represent Dahmer's interest in further of these departments, and Dahmer reported specifically the acts of the officers preparing in the in there, but the names were not read active by the media sources and reported by the law enforcement who had cease officer safety concerns. On February 5th, according to the military sources, Dahmer checked into a naval base in San Diego and checked out procedures when leaving. The LAPD officers were driving to protect the details. Okay, wait, let's back up. Okay. So let me let me call BS right here, ladies and gentlemen, because this don't make sense. I am a farmer ID card. No, sorry. I am a current ID card holder. Current ID card holder. You saying to me that Durr checked into a naval base hotel, but on February 3rd, he shot and killed somebody? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this, let's put this together with intelligence. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are suspected of murder and you are in the army, when your name pops up and they see that you are in the service, your name automatically goes to every federal agency there is out there. Also, it also goes to your commander, whoever the commander is, and then it's filtered out. So whether you go through Air Force, the Navy, the Marines, the Coast, it doesn't matter. In order to get on post, he had to show his ID card. If he showed his ID card and he was suspected for murder, the MPs or the SPs or the whatever Ps would pick them, military police would pick him up and put him in jail. No. This brother went, did his duties, checked out, and then went to a hotel. Come on, y'all. Does that make sense? Come on. Does it make sense to you? I'm just asking because it just don't make sense to me right now. I'm military personnel. Don't make no sense. Okay, we're going to move on. So we know what happened on the 6th. On the 5th, of course. Okay, we already read that. On the 7th, two LAPD officers were driving to protect the details where they were assigned to secure one of the officers potentially targeted by Durr when they had been flagged down by a civilian at 1 a.m. The person who flagged them down reportedly seen a man matching Durr's description at the gas station in Corona. The officers investigated the report and they followed a pickup truck when the driver stopped, got out, and fired a weapon at them, grazing the head of one officer. But 20 minutes after that shooting, two officers were ambushed while stopped in their marked police units on a red traffic stoplight in Riverside, approximately 1:35. One officer, Michael Kern, died shortly after the shooting, and the other one ran nearly by the hospital in a critical condition for surgery and survived. About an hour and 25 minutes after Riverside shooting, at approximately 3 o'clock a.m., a man matching Durr's description tried to steal a boat in San Diego, telling the boat captain that he was taking the boat to Mexico, a federal crime complement has filed against Durr since that day for alleged fleeing California to avoid prosecution. On February the 9th, CNN reported that the LAPD is reopening an investigation toward Durr's dismissal from the LAPD so as to assure the public that the police were doing everything in their power to capture Durr. February the 10th, authorities offered a $1 million reward to information leading to Durr's capture. For the first time, Durr's actions were described to be forms of domestic terrorism. While Durr believed to be hidden somewhere in the San Bernardino Mountains on an unmanned aerial machine vehicle was deployed to aid the search from the aim to fear of Derner would head from Mexico's border. Later that day, Lowe's Home Improvement Store in Northridge, Los Angeles, was evacuated based on reports of a possible slight sighting of Derner. Riverside Detective District Attorney filed former charges against Derner for murder of the police officer and attempted murder for three other officers. On February the 12th, police raided a hotel in Tijuana, Mexico overnight because the tip of Derner was there. Authorities said discovered the surveillance footage of Derner purchasing scuba gear. Let me say this to y'all. This Negro is going all over South California. He get his ass to Mexico. Then he go back to America? He go back to America. Listen, I can't even talk about this right now, y'all. I've lost all kinds of sense. It doesn't make sense, y'all. Okay, so I'm not going to read that no more. I'm just going to tell you what I think. I think this. Whatever information he had on the LAPD, and there must have been some dirt, y'all, you see. Remember when we were talking about Osama bin Laden? We captured a whole bunch of terrorists. They said to be terrorists, right? We captured a whole bunch of them who said to be terrorists. And like I said, we waterlogged them. We did all these crazy stuff to them. Remember? So they could tell the truth. Remember that? But when it comes to a person who has information that could possibly turn the tides on somebody, what happens? Oh, they want it dead or alive. No, we don't. Dead or alive, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all ain't understanding what I'm saying. They wanted him dead. You mean to tell me that is the only way they can get that man out of the house was just to burn it to the ground? The only way. Only way. You mean to tell me there is no other means into getting into that home? No other means? But to burn it down. No, ladies and gentlemen. And anybody can debate me on this if they want to. I'm not saying I got all the answers. But I tell you this. There's no way in goodness that was the only means of getting him out of there. No way. No way. So, where do we go from there? Where do we go from here with that? Oh, he's a cop killer. He killed cops. He deserved to die. Is that the justice that we deserve? Is that the justice that we look for now? oh, he killed somebody, so now he's not worthy of due process because he done killed somebody. Even Jeffrey Dahmer was due process, and he died in jail. But they tried it. Oh, did we forget that little white crazy-ass boy in Colorado was going to see the Batman movie, and he thought he was the Joker and tried to blow everything up? Even that nigga got a trial. He killed a lot of people. Oh, sorry. He wasn't mentally okay. Sorry. He was a little crazy. We must forget him. A little crazy. I call BS. I call it keep it real. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, and you can't just tell me that people don't get due process. Just kill them? Is that what we're just saying now? This is a tooth for a tooth, right? So all you wannabe freedom fighters out there, all you wannabe, you got justice, that he got what he deserved because he's a cop killer. No. I don't want to be around you. Don't want to be around you. Because you don't believe in the concepts of America. You hear me? That's my opinion. You want to hoop and holler about this and that, but you don't want to give people due process. The right to trial. The right to get his story out. He knew. He may not make it out. He knew this. So he wrote a letter. He wrote a letter. And in this letter, was he mad? We all get mad. We all feel like we don't get justice sometimes. I'm not justifying his actions by all means. But what I am saying is if he was truly as guilty as they said he was, then why not give him an opportunity to tell his side of the story? Why is it shoot on sight? Why is it kill him on sight? Don't give that nigga any time or chance to breathe. Come on, y'all. We're talking about reality here. We're talking about the truth. And your truth may not be the same as my truth. But I was told there's only one truth, which is true. There's only one truth. We may have different perspectives on the truth. But there's only one truth. So I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, this. Please do your own research. Do your research so that when you do your research, I got my research. We can come together and say, listen, this is right or wrong. I don't have a problem saying if I'm wrong. If the evidence proves to be right. You see, I give you what I can. I'm willing to give you more. But what I do know is we must understand one another. We have to stop persecuting people based off of what the TV says. Let's not be so quick to judge somebody based off what the TV says. Let's get the material. Let's get the information first. Let's get the facts straight. Let's get the facts out there. I mean, listen, the man already felt like he wasn't going to get no due process because the first attorney he hired failed him. And if you go out there and you think that you're not getting just service or just due, you may end up in the same position as this. But one other thing I'm going to say, you got to put in effect in this deal that this man could have been mentally ill too. He could have PTSD. He did things that you didn't do, ladies and gentlemen. Now, all of a sudden, he's a horrible person because he killed some cops. Once again, we don't know why. Is it right to kill? No. Did we give him an opportunity to explain himself? No. So what I'm going to say is I'm going to stand for justice. I'm going to stand on his side. You can say whatever you want about me, but until you can produce some evidence to say that he wasn't set up, or if this whole situation is even real, that's the kicker. I mean, isn't it kind of funny? Nobody has said nothing about this man. Everybody has just gone on with their life and forgotten about him. I know his mother, if his mother's still alive, hadn't forgot about him. I know his other family members, if they're still alive, hadn't forgot about him. Where's the outcry from the family? See, I was listening to Dick Gregory, and Mrs. Gregory says, look here. When you look at that man and you don't see his family come out and support him, they had pictures of the CIA or somebody, I don't know if they're CIA, but they had some type of agents in front of his mother's house. And there was a picture of her walking from her car to her door. Or from a car. I don't know if it was her car. And it was like business as usual. She had nothing to say? Or was she silenced not to say nothing? Is this bigger than the LAPD? Think about that. Is this thing bigger than the LAPD? tough out there. It's really tough out there. Because on one hand, we scream for justice. On the other hand, people are not allowed to get justice. Now, who are we fooling? Are we fooling ourselves to believe that justice will be served? And at the beginning of the show, we talked about what exactly is justice and by whom definition is justice being looked at. There's not a lot of justice being served these days. There's a lot of finger pointing. There's a lot of hatred. No love. None. And that's based off of, well, he killed cops. We're quick to judge, man. I'm telling you, quick to judge. And don't know nothing about nothing. But I do ask you, to take things in consideration. Before we judge, let's take things in consideration. That's all I know. I mean, to be fair, no matter how we look at things, are you really being fair? And if you are really being fair, who are you being fair to? I don't buy it. I don't. I'm trying to buy it, y'all. I'm trying to buy that Kool-Aid that y'all selling. But the only thing I can come up with is there's some real haters out there. I would like, I would really like for people to understand where he's coming from. I mean, he's dead now. But the future is this, ladies and gentlemen. If we don't control the actions of the government, then the government is going to control the actions of us. And you guys know what I'm referring to. So I'm not going to go into great detail of what is George talking about. If you don't know, then you honestly don't know. But listen, if you don't know, then please email me. Please call me up. We can chat all day long if you want to get some understanding of what is going on. Really, because if you don't understand, you just don't understand. Is that your fault? No. But then at that point, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to, like they say, you've got to take responsibility of your own actions. It's fight or flight, y'all. Fight or flight. Either you're going to stand up and you're going to fight for justice and what's right, or you're going to let people control you, control your actions, control who you are, who you say, what you do. I'd like to believe that we're in a society today that we got people who have free mind and free willings to think. I would like to think that. When I said I like to think that, that's only because there's a lot of people who think they're thinking, but they're really not thinking. They're just regurgitating or going with the flow based off of what somebody else has said. And you know what? That's okay, too. What's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that, right? Now, the problem comes when it's asked of you to stand up and fight what you believe in, and you have no idea what you believe in. What kind of sense does that make? Who are you? What do you stand for? We're not talking about this old ropey-dopey, you know, I'm American and I believe in American ways, American values. None of that junk, man. Let's be real. The process of understanding who you are from the beginning is very detrimental. Listen, I'm George Beverly. I hope you had a good night. Enjoyed this. If you have any questions, please feel free to call.
90 seconds.
Email me and give a shout out. Next time I hear you, you should be sounding off.
This one goes out to my little homie Brandon. Told you, I got you, my man.
A lot of pressure, man. Let's go, baby. Sophisticated gorillas is on the move tonight. VA, stand up. Come on. Come on. My man. Come on. 100 mountains running. With guns in our hand. Barbarian, heavy metal, carrying rock band. Investing in stock, man. Testing the clock, grand. My peeps got a spot on the block of my block, fam. A jar in the pot, man. Gets you a knot, man. Like ching ching, hot damn. Cooked it like hot ham. Gotta be smart, man. Playing your part, man. Get your feelings apart. With ice over your heart, man. Hustling ain't a game. Hustling the art, man. 50% sour, 50% smart, man. And lame as turns ain't shit sweet. Life gets cheap once plans gets brief. Be your own piece, try to treat. Acting like they get their chance to eat. The politicians, they say we valid in the streets. But they the ones who put their face behind the white sheet. With holes in it. Life is a picture, baby, I posed in it. So my attitude is go get it. Cause I come from a place that's colder than a jail cell with snow in it. So I don't need your e-pill. I'm already rolling. I don't